in our sins. But that does not mean that we can persist in that state all the way to the judgment, because that is not what he's promised. He's promised that we will grow up into Christ. He's promised that we, though it does not yet appear what we shall be, we know something, that we're going to be like him. We don't know exactly what we're going to be, but we know we're going to be like him. You know, he's delivered us from the lusts and from the sinful desires. But it does not yet appear that we are delivered from all the sinful desires. So what do? We give up? We stop? No. We have to continue in faith, believing the promises of God that we might be delivered from those things and seeking him, because it is like a race. We have to keep running. We have to keep moving, that we could put all the sins behind us. We can't just sit down in the track and have a supper with sin and then expect to waltz into the marriage supper with dirty, filthy garments, stained with sin. And I always get this thing for people who say, well, Paul, listen, if you come before God and you're righteous, then it's your own righteousness. What are you talking about? Well, then you would have done it, so it would be you. I can't do it. How could it be me? I am a man incapable of doing right. If I happened to appear before God with having righteousness on me, having meaning that I do righteousness all the time. Now, not ever since I was born, but from a certain point in time, wherever God ordains it, that I lay off those things, so that when I appear before him in the judgment, when Christ returns, or when I'm raised from the dead, that all the sins are behind me, and that I'm dressed in white, with no stains. If I come and appear before him by that, how could I have done that except by God's power? There's no way that man could do this. It is only by it is impossible with man. But with God, all things are possible. Like I said, you know, you have faith that can move mountains, but you have no faith that can move sin. What a strange thing. Because God gave me no commandments concerning mountains. God gave me no commandments concerning walking on water. But we believe all these things. God gave me no commandments concerning working miracles. God gave me no commandments concerning all these other things that people look to as proof of God's power. But God has given me a commandment concerning righteousness. God has given me a commandment concerning iniquity, that I should cast off iniquity and put on righteousness. And what? And they don't believe. You don't want to believe. You have little faith. When it comes to something so simple as turning from our sins, now it's suddenly beyond your comprehension. That is beyond my comprehension. Except that I had once lived that way. I had thought that way. You know, I remember reading the scriptures. I remember I did a Bible study on the first epistle of John. And we got to the part in chapter 3 where it talks about sin. You know, he that is born of God does not commit sin. And I thought, I remember it just struck me at how stark it was. And I began to give my explanation. I had this incredibly self-conscious feeling of that I was getting it wrong. Something was wrong. You know, like, well, this is meaning imputed and habitually and blah, 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 and yabber, 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 when the scriptures are so very definite, so very clear. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that does righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. Little children, don't let anyone deceive you. The doer of righteousness is righteous, not the pretender of righteousness, not the believer of righteousness, but he that actually receives it. And how do we receive it? By works? No. By faith. By believing. Yes, we must believe in righteousness first so that we can receive righteousness. But it is not merely enough to believe. It is not merely enough to have it imputed. It must also be imparted. Oh, and I can hear the Reformed theologians saying, oh, no, no, it's not an imparted righteousness. It is an imputed righteousness. No, you're wrong. Your teachers were wrong. They're blasphemers and liars and without faith and unbelievers. I tell you, they're wrong, because the scriptures say otherwise. The scriptures say that the righteousness must come on us. The righteousness of God must turn us from our sins. Jesus Christ came to bless us, every one of us, in turning us from our iniquities. We are to lay aside all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And what else? What else? What else but to say? The grace of God that to bring us salvation teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live righteously, soberly, and godly in this present world. If that is not the impartation of righteousness by the Spirit of God, then I do not know what is. Or how about what Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1? know, but, and I already quoted part of it. I'm going to quote the whole thing. It's because it gets me so angry when they say, oh, righteousness is only imputed. It's not imparted. No, it's not imparted. We don't believe in that. Because you hate that. The idea of actually having righteousness imparted to you is like, you mean my behavior would change? You mean I'd stop doing the things that I want to do? You mean I'd start denying myself, taking up my cross and following him? I'm not so sure about all that. I mean, I don't really have to do all that, do I? His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. He's already given us everything that pertains to living godly. His divine power has given us these things. This is 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. His divine power has given us all things that pertain to righteousness, to godliness. Through the knowledge of him, we know him, therefore we have power. We have everything that is pertains to doing this, to doing what is right. Not merely to having it imputed to us, but to actually performing the righteousness, to actually performing the godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. We've been called to glory and virtue. We've been called to actual behaviors which are upright, to behaviors which are true, to behaviors which mirror the behaviors of Christ. There is no other calling. What we are called to half-hearted righteousness? We are called to wear garments stained with sin and appear before Christ and have him say to us, where did you come from? Who are you? I don't know who you are. What are you thinking? You want to appear before him like that? That's what they're leading people to do. They're leading and preparing people to come before Christ and fulfill scriptures which are a horror to me, which are the most terrible and terrifying scriptures of all. The scriptures that declare of those people who think in their hearts, I'm of the Lord, I believe in Jesus, and then they come before Christ and he doesn't even know who they are and he says, who are you? Get out of my face. I don't know who you are. And they think, tender sweet Jesus. And then Jesus, tenderly and sweetly, receives others, but rejects them, and they're cast out into weeping and gnashing of teeth. What a horror. And those who lead them down those paths, it's like, what will you answer for? What will your punishment be? Who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? They are giving us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these, the promises, we may be partakers of the divine nature. How do you partake of the divine nature? By halfway righteousness? By nibbling at the edges of it? No, you've got to consume it completely. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We've escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Howbeit, we do not yet see ourselves escaped completely from the corruption that is in the world. But I tell you, when the king comes in, we're going to be dressed in righteousness. We're going to be dressed in white garments, perfectly white and clean, without any stain. And the sooner the better. I want to win the race by furlongs. I want to win the race by miles. I want to win the race by years. You know, I want to be so far ahead of the sins that I've left behind me